Hi, I'm Austin Woolman. I'm one of the violinists in Jack Quartet. I also am a composer and teach at the Manus School of Music. Escape Rites is my second album of original music. And basically, this album comes out of the 8 years that I've been in this quartet. It's inspired by all of the conversations about music that I've had with the guys in the group, our exploration of polytemporality and microtonality, and trying to unite these various performance practices into something that feels genuine to myself.
Some of these titles, are a little weird, for lack of a better word. But I wonder if you can talk about the titles of the individual movements in Escape Rites, Power Switch, Walking, L is in parentheses, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, sure. So with Escape Rites, there's a lot going on in that piece. It's something that I started exploring while reading the correspondence between John Cage and Pierre Boulez, and their interests and their optimism as young musicians who were writing string quartets at the same time, corresponding about their ideas in those pieces really got me going in that piece. So yeah, the piece itself has a lot of different kind of moods, and so I thought of it as, even though the music unfolds seamlessly, as having six kind of miniature movements within this 120-minute piece. So Power Switch, I think of as the musical language of Escape Rites coming to life, opening up, turning itself on, but with a kind of a kind of energy of a misused or old digital machine, something that's not quite functioning, trying to come into focus but can't quite make its gears turn in the right way. Waking or walking, depending on whether the L is there, is kind of the flip side of that. It's a meditation, a much more human exploration of some of the pitch material in the piece. That opens up into what I think of as a walk through an imaginary forest. And as I imagine myself walking through this forest, the roots and the limbs of the trees become those very machines that were trying to come to life, in Power Switch. And that's the third movement, which is called Escape Rite. The energy of those kind of cables and switches in my mind builds up into a place where it becomes a kind of like ecstatic dance before a strange totem that was in my mind. A totem, because I was obsessed with this piece by John Cage called Totem Ancestor at the time, which I adapted and is on the album. Yeah, so then going forward, there's Etude X or 10, whatever we want to call it. That's a movement that's written in a 25-tone serialism. And it's a pretty wild and explosive, very short, miniature, kind of homage to Pierre Boulez, who at the time of his correspondence with Cage, described his attempt at 24-tone serialism, equal tempered 24 notes within an octave instead of the usual 12. So with my new ideas, new resources that the quartet has been building over time, I decided to try my hand at 25 tone, and a little bit tongue in cheek too. It's playful, it's explosive, it kind of fails to reach climaxes at various times. The fifth movement, I'll try to keep it brief. The fifth movement, Natna, is Anton backwards. It's an homage to Webern, who was an important influence of both Cage and Boulez. And I was thinking a lot about the kind of crystalline structures that he made. And so it's a playful backwards and forwards thing. Anton backwards is not no. And then the last movement, El Lago de los Farores, is titled that as a playful thought on what the word values means. Valores in Spanish is values. And for me, the Spanish language has been an important part of my recent journey as a composer, because I found that by studying a language that I'm now pretty proficient in, more in depth, it opened up new creative resources for me. And the sense of what values are personal values, the kind of values that I'm measuring with ratios and polyrhythms in the piece, And all of that kind of comes into focus in a very sort of romantic way in the last movement.
Did you come up with those ideas behind each piece first and then write the music? I know some composers like paint, like Anna Klein has told me she paints and draws things, and Corigliano does the same thing. I wonder how much of the idea came to you before you wrote the music, or if you were writing the music and then came up with an idea for it.
It kind of came hand in hand. I was doing a lot of reading and study of those things I was interested in at that time. And these images started to come to my mind as I was building the harmonic language that I was interested in from a more technical kind of angle. And as I was exploring these new harmonies, new to me, it started to evoke these images. And so then as I started to like work out some of the simple melodic ideas, counterpoint, harmonic movements. I have graph paper, and so I started to. One of the things I like to do is like have kind of different forms, abstract forms that look like various things, move them around on graph paper to think about the bigger picture. And then that moves me closer and closer towards being able to hold in my mind the whole piece.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your activities. I mean, as a violinist, you play in the Jack Quartet, which is a luminary in the new music world. I wonder if you can talk about, maybe go back and tell us about your first experience with the violin, that sort of thing.
For sure, yeah. So music has always been a very important part of my life. My mother is a music teacher and church organist. So I was singing, playing music from a very young age. And I asked to play the violin at age 5. And there was a strong Suzuki program in my hometown in Indiana. So I was surrounded by other people with a lot of musical interest. I grew up in the Mennonite church as well. So a cappella singing was a big part of my upbringing. And I think that that accounts for why I'm so interested in tuning harmonies and the sounds of voices together in chorale-like harmonies. That's a big part of what music is to me. I think it's why, as a violinist, I have always gravitated towards string quartet. Well, for the purity of harmony and exploring that. In my earlier years, I was in string quartets that still played Beethoven and Haydn and all of that. And then 8 years ago, when I joined Jack, I've really focused in on the contemporary music, music of today and the 20th century, as the focus of what I've done. It's always been an important thing for me. Somehow that was very encouraged in my hometown. I discovered the music of Elliot Carter in high school. And I remember being so confused by it, honestly, but like so curious about why and what was going on, that that made me want to learn what these languages were. And people were very supportive of my curiosity. And so, yeah, the bottom line for me with music is to be curious about it, even if it's something familiar, to be curious about learning something more deep, or if it's something brand new. Maybe, especially if I don't like it, to get curious about what it is about this thing that its creator loves so much.
I wonder if you can talk about Totem Ancestor a little bit, because I love that piece by John Cage and I love your arrangement. It's great. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that to introduce it for our listeners.
For sure. Yeah. So, The Totem Ancestor by John Cage is one of his early works for prepared piano. So what Cage did was put things like screws, thumbtacks, weather stripping on certain notes of the piano that sort of retunes what each key can do. It gives it a different harmonic content and a different percussive quality. It was music intended for dance. And I love the way that the music just like jumps off the page. It's so full of vibrant energy. And so I was really inspired by that music while I was writing Escape Rites, and I decided to make an adaptation of The Totem Ancestor for string quartet. And I took some liberties. I reharmonized it. I added some contrapuntal lines and a little bit of polytemporality to it, as I like to do, to just give it a little bit more chamber music fun for the four of us to play.
Is there anything else on this CD that you want to talk about?
Maybe I'll just highlight something about the late edition since that's the
Yeah.
single.
Yeah, go for it.
So the late edition is the first track of this album, And it is a very rhythmically churning and anxious piece. It was inspired by this moment last fall after I broke my wrist. I learned an important lesson as someone from Indiana who played basketball in high school must learn upon turning the age of 40 and still playing pickup basketball in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, is that you shouldn't play defense the way you tried to in high school. That ended with a broken wrist, but it gave me a lot of time to think about composing in that time when I was just playing open strings. So coming out of that time and being back at touring, there was this real heightened energy to it to me. I felt just so grateful to be back playing the fiddle and so grateful to be making music with my colleagues. And right at that time, I saw after one of our shows on a festival, this Japanese band, Goat, played a set, and they had the snare drum mic'd so close, and it was so loud in the room that you could hear the overtones of this snare drum playing crazy patterns, just a very constant rhythm, but with lots of different accents patterning it. It just really inspired me. I was so full of musical energy already. I wrote that piece in like the 2 days that followed on the plane. So that's a very special one for me. It's about a very specific time in my personal energy, and I think it comes through in the music.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it a lot.
Take care.
All righty, later.